1 John chapter 1, and we're going to read the first three verses this morning. 1 John 1 verse 1, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just thank you for the good news that we have to share with the world around us, good news of Jesus Christ, and we just pray you would help us to understand and appreciate all the more who your Son is and why he sent him. We may share that with others that they too might know him as Savior. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as we look into this passage, at first glance, it may almost seem that John is referring to something, that it's clear, of course, that he's experienced and witnessed something amazing, something that is life-changing, something that he feels duty-bound to share with other people. And this thing of which he speaks, he refers to as the word of life, as the source of eternal life, as the key to fellowship, and we see in verse 4 as well, the source of fullness of joy in our lives. And so when we think of that, of what he's saying, it really kind of impels us to ask, well, what is this thing that he's speaking of? This is something that all of us, any of us, would want what he's speaking of. But as we meditate upon the passage, as quickly do we realize he's not referring to something, he's referring to someone. This word of God, who we find in his gospel, he said, became flesh and dwelt among us. The one through whom God has provided mankind with the gift of eternal life. And that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John, of course, was one of the 12 disciples. If you had any disciple that you could say was the closest to Jesus, it would probably be John. He knew him very well, and having known him, he wanted to share him with the world. And he saw him, they looked upon him, but even we think of the account of Jesus' resurrection where they could hardly believe that he was raised from the dead, that he said, "Handle me and see, put your fingers in the nail prints in my hand, and be not faithless, but believing," that he saw this one and he wanted to share him with everyone else. And of course, from our time that we've been spending considering Isaiah 61, 1 to 3, we have that phrase that we were looking at, that the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. And so we realize that as believers, we live in a world that is bombarded with bad news, a world that's bombarded with fake news, and we have good news that we can share, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's something that we realize that the message that we're proclaiming is a person. It is Jesus himself. He is the message we need to proclaim. And so we want to be able to effectively proclaim to the world around us. We want to be able to tell people who he is. The thing is, of course, is Jesus lived more than 2,000 years ago, so most people today, if they never heard of Jesus, didn't know who he was, they would think, well, that's ancient history. What does that have to do with me now? It really would seem to be irrelevant to my life today. And of course, we know that assumption to be wrong, but we also realize it to be natural and understandable. And so we want to help people to see that what happened 2,000 years ago is very significant. This individual known as Jesus of Nazareth was not just this historical figure that is worthy of our admiration. He's someone much more than that. And so we want to help people have some context, and we need to provide that for them. We need to show them that what happened back then can have a life-changing and destiny-changing impact on everyone right now if they come to know and accept the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to consider this, and today we don't want to just share simply the facts of history of Jesus, who he was, and that's sometimes a sad thing nowadays. You see many of these individuals that are on this quest to discover the historical Jesus, and the sad part, of course, is with that is pretty well they disregard everything that's in the Bible and assume that it's incorrect and try to find some other picture of Jesus that is not in accordance with the scriptures. And it really doesn't make sense. Why would you reject the accounts of the people who knew him the best? That doesn't make a lot of sense. And so we want to realize that is that we're sharing, just as with John, as we're sharing someone with other people that we know personally, that because we know him and because of what he's done in our lives, we want to share him with other people. And so for each of us as believers, if someone is to ask us, well, who is Jesus? What's so special about him? Why should I consider him? We need to have an answer. And a lot of times our answer is just sharing what he's done for us. And so for today, I just want to give some different thoughts. Each of these, you could say, would kind of be a miniature sermon. But maybe it could be a help to you if someone asked you that each of these you may find apply to you and your own experience of what Christ has done for you. But it's something that he came and who he is, it really helps as we explain it in these ways that people as well can see why they need Jesus in their life more than anyone or anything else. We sing a song in Sunday school, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And that's the truth. And we want to consider who Jesus is today and why everyone needs to hear about him. And to find out how they can know him personally. And so, who is Jesus? And why is he the good news that everyone today need to hear about? Well, first of all, we recognize for a world that is full of people that are struggling to find satisfaction in life, he is the bread and the water of life. We realize that. So many people today are looking for something in life that can fulfill them, that can then bring them some sort of happiness and completeness and just value in many ways. People want a life where they can say that this is fulfilling. I'm happy with my life. And so often it is, we see that people have a hunger and a thirst for something, but they don't know really what it is for. And so they can try all sorts of things to try to satisfy themselves. They think, well, if I pursue after riches, that will satisfy me. That sometimes it'll be, well, if I'll pursue after pleasure, that will satisfy me. Some, sadly, go to drugs or alcohol thinking that will kind of deal with that longing in their heart, that it'll kind of take it away or it'll meet it or something. But we find that so many of those things do not satisfy. And if anything, they make that feeling of longing and emptiness even greater. And we actually find in Ecclesiastes of Solomon the king, of his testimony, that he was a man that had great riches, and he basically decided, well, I am going to pursue whatever money can buy to be able to see if that will satisfy me. He sought out wisdom, he sought out pleasure, he sought out riches, he accomplished many things, he engaged in all these different building projects. It says in Ecclesiastes 2, it says, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. But then we see in verse 11, it says, I looked on all the works that my hands had made, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. That he just found no satisfaction in all the things that he did, all the things that he tried. He despaired even of life. It talks about later on in that passage. And he just didn't know what to do. And we realize that Solomon's story is a story of so many people today. That they're trying to find something that'll satisfy them, something that'll fulfill them. And it just seems life gets more and more empty. And for those people, we have good news. We can tell them, your hunger can be satisfied. Your thirst can be quenched. You can find fulfillment in life, and you will find it in Jesus. We see the words of Jesus in John chapter 6 and verse 35, where Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That he gives that testimony, that longing, that emptiness that we have in our lives, he can fill that. And he can give us meaning in life, purpose in life. He can bring us to a place where we can be truly satisfied. We think of the woman at the well of Samaria, of how she came seeking water, and Jesus spoke to her. He said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That he laid that out to her, and we find that she came for water, but she actually ended up leaving her water pitcher there and running into town and telling people, I found him that we've been seeking for. This is the Christ that we were hoping for. Her physical need was kind of not even important compared to what spiritual need was being met by this one that she spoke to. And we find as well in John chapter 7, where Jesus says, and this is during the Feast of the Tabernacles, in the last day, the great day of the feast, he stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that's what we see, that he calls to us. He says to us, if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, if you have an emptiness, you have a longing in your life that you've tried to fill in so many different ways, there is good news. There is one that can fulfill that, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is the good news we can share for those who are empty. There is one that can fill them and one who can satisfy them. Secondly, we can share with a world that is overtaken by darkness that Jesus is the light. And we realize that this can be a very dark world sometimes, full of a lot of hate, a lot of cruelty, where people could use help and many refuse to give it, or would rather condemn or rather make the person's problem worse rather than better. And we realize as well that there are dark paths that we can take in life that lead us away from peace and joy and purpose. And as well, that we live in a world in which many times it can be hard to find hope, that we think, how is this problem going to turn out for good? How can I ever overcome this difficulty? And we realize there's many in this world today that struggle with depression, many that feel just like giving up and saying it's just not worth going on anymore. And it is a dark world, and it is the darkness of this world that often seems to be threatening to engulf us. That we think, I can't take it anymore, I might as well just end it. But for those, we recognize that we have good news. There is a light shining in the darkness, and that light is Jesus Christ. We see in John 8 and verse 12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we realize that he is, it's really from the very beginning when he was born in Bethlehem that a star appeared, and it was a light that was given to the world, and it speaks prophetically of him in different places of how, where in Galilee that those that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And as well, later on in Isaiah, it speaks how it says, "Arise, shine, for thy light has come." And we realize that he is that light. It says in another place in the Old Testament, it refers to Jesus as the Son of Righteousness. And that he comes and he brings healing in his wings. That he is one that gives us light, that gives us really direction in life, gives us hope. And in a world that is often consumed by hate and cruelty, that he is the one that shows love and compassion and mercy and grace. And so we have that good news that we can share, is that we don't have to live in darkness anymore, that we don't have to live in despair, that there is hope, there is focus in life that we can have. And Jesus is the light, that he shows us the way and he brings hope to us when we're in despair. And so thirdly, we recognize too, not only is he the bread and water of life to those that are seeking fulfillment, not only is he the light to those that are in darkness, but as well, for a world full of people who feel they are on the outside looking in, he is the door. I think all of us want to belong. We want to be welcomed. We want to be accepted. But for so often we find, for one reason or another, we're ostracized. We're left out in the cold. Maybe we aren't rich enough or smart enough or beautiful enough or whatever the case might be. And it always seems there's different things that just kind of were pushed away, where we're made to feel like we're not wanted, where we're not valued, not appreciated. But we want to realize, for all of us that feel that way, that there is good news. That we see what Jesus declares in John chapter 10 verse 9. He says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." That it's kind of the thing is where so many, in so many ways in this world, that there people are being pushed out, that we understand with the Lord Jesus that he's calling us to himself, that he's welcoming people in. He wants them to come part of his sheepfold in that sense. And it's a thought that we can come to God through Christ. And it speaks in Ephesians of how we can be accepted in the Beloved, that we can be adopted into God's family. And it might be where it seems like no one else may want us. We know that God does. That he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sins, so that in trusting him that we could be accepted of him. That we think of how it speaks of Jesus in John chapter 1. How in many ways he was rejected by his own. He came to his own received him not. But verse 12 it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." That we have that opportunity, that authority to be adopted into God's family as we respond to him in faith. And so it is that blessedness that we have, that he welcomes us into his fellowship, that regardless of what we were before, of whatever we've done, that he cleanses us of all that, that we can have a fresh start, that we can live a new life in him, and by his strength and by his power, that we can have that fellowship. And that's, we think of John, that's really what he talked about there in 1 John chapter 1, that he desired that we would have, everyone would have the same fellowship that he was able to enjoy with God himself. And he was a man that was a fisherman who was spoken of as by the Pharisees as being an unlearned and ignorant man, one that in that society, being from Galilee, would be kind of uncouth and rough. But we see those were the ones that Jesus chose to be his disciples, and those through whom he used to reach much of that generation in that day. And so we realize that Jesus is the door. He is the one that through which people can be welcomed in to God's presence, welcomed into God's family, and we can share that good news for those that are been pushed aside by this world, that there is someone that loves you, someone that cares for you, and wants you to become part of his family. But then as well, we recognize too that for a world full of people who have lost their way in life, that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And we realize that there's many that struggle to know what to do, where to go in life, that they're struggling for purpose, especially maybe young people. They just have kind of a feeling like they're lost. It's like, what do I do with my life? How do I handle these challenges in life? Many sometimes things are very difficult. They don't know where to turn, and so they just look for a way to just escape, even if it's just for a few brief moments, just to get away from the struggles, that they don't know how to handle it. They don't know any way out of those difficulties. And sometimes what happened is many set down out on paths thinking, well, this will be a way that's going to lead me to happiness, it'll lead me to a place of joy and peace in life, but instead they find it leads them to a place of misery and pain. And these ones that have essentially wandered off and got to a place of danger, a place of harm, they're in need of rescue. And they're in need of someone to watch over them, someone that can heal them, someone that can keep them safe. And for those, we have good news, because Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He is the one who leads his sheep, the one who feeds his sheep, the one is willing to even give his life for the sheep. We see this in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. It says, Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That we want to understand that he has this desire for everyone to become part of his flock, that he wants to have that role in our lives to watch over us, to guide us in life. And we can know that he will never lead us or lead us astray. We think of just what David spoke of in Psalm 23 of how the relationship that he had with God, of how that the Lord was his shepherd, that he was provided for, he was protected, that he could walk through the valley of the shadow of death and yet fear no evil, because he knew God was with him and that his rod and his staff would comfort him. And that's what we want to have. We want to experience that. And that's what Jesus provides for us. He's one that can restore our soul, that can heal our wounds, that can bring us back from destruction when we've wandered away. And he is the Good Shepherd. And people need to know that. There is someone that they can look to for guidance. There is someone that they can look to for protection. One that they can look to for healing. And one that they can look to for provision. That he is all that and more, and can be to them if they come to accept him as their Savior. And as well, we understand too that for a world that is overwhelmed by sorrow and death, that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And we realize there is so much sorrow in this world of things that happen, and so much of it comes due to sickness and disease and death, that we lose loved ones, we're separated from them, and it would seem to be forever. And many times we can be overwhelmed with grief, that it is a very lonesome valley many times to walk through, and it is sometimes it can be many years before we can get through that. And finding comfort in times of grief, it seems very difficult sometimes. And we hope that there would be someone that would understand, someone that would appreciate what we're going through. And people try sometimes, but they maybe just don't know what our heart is. But we realize that Jesus is the one, it speaks of in Isaiah that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, that he knows pain and he knows grief. And we see in John 11 that the shortest verse in the Bible is also one very well known where it says Jesus wept, that he had compassion for his friends, and he came there to comfort them and speak to them. But these are words that he said to to Martha to give her hope. He said in John 11 verse 25, he said, "I am the resurrection, the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And that's the good news that we can share, that that death parts us, but it's not forever. That as we trust in the Lord, that parting is just temporary. That we can expect one day a glorious reunion with our loved ones that have passed on before. That we sorrow not as others that have no hope. That we can comfort ourselves knowing that there will be that meeting in the air one day when we'll all be together again. And it is through Jesus that he is the one that is the resurrection and the life. He is the one that we can look to, that he is that hope that we have for life beyond the grave, that we don't have to be afraid of what is to come, that we can know as we've trusted in him that he's got us settled, and that even though we think of what Job said, where he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth and shall stand in the latter day on this earth," and he said that that even though worms would consume his flesh, yet in his flesh he would see God, and he had this hope of a resurrection. And that hope of a resurrection we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we recognize that of how all that these things that Jesus is, that he is the bread and the water of life to those who are seeking satisfaction, that he is the light to those that are overwhelmed by darkness. He is the door to those who feel that they're on the outside looking in. He is the good shepherd for those that have lost their way. And he is the resurrection and the life for those overwhelmed with sorrow and death and grief. But finally, for a world full of people whose lives are being enslaved and destroyed by sin, Jesus is the Savior. And we recognize the source of so much pain and sorrow and hurt in this world is sin. That it is through sin that death and disease and everything else came in this world to begin with. And we realize that it is sin that has that corrupting force in this world. Sin is what enslaves us over and over again. It destroys us and it brings us into condemnation. And all of us, of course, are sinners and are guilty because of our sin. And the only thing we have to look forward to in ourselves is condemnation and separation from God because of our sin. But yet, God's desire was not that any of us should perish. He so loved the world that he sent his Son, so that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we understand from the first time that Joseph was spoken to by the angel of this child of Mary's that was coming into this world. He says, "She's going to bring forth a son, and I want you to call his name Jesus," which means Jehovah is saved. And the reason why is because he would save his people from their sins. And that's what Jesus came to save us from. He's came to save us, first of all, from the penalty of sin. That condemnation that is upon us all for our rebellion against God, for the harm that we've caused others, that he took that punishment for us. And so that we could be forgiven, we could be justified in his sight, that we could have that relationship with God be restored and not live forever in spiritual death and darkness. But we recognize as well that for us as believers too, that he He seeks to save us from sin's power, that these different bad habits that we do that hurt ourselves and others, that He wants to give us victory day by day as we learn to walk with Him. And then one day, of course, we realize when He takes us home, we're going to be saved from sin's very presence, that we're going to be taken out of all the evil that is in this world, and of course, that evil that is within us, that sin nature, is going to be taken out of us as well, and we'll be free of that. And it's the thing is that there is much evil in this world, and that's not going to change anytime soon, but we don't have to be overcome by evil. Through Christ, we can overcome evil with good, and we can learn to find victory over sin in our daily life, and help others to find victory as well. And so all of us are sinners, all of us are affected by the scourge of sin, and to our universal problem, Jesus is the universal solution. He gave Himself as a ransom for all, and we can have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, that He gave Himself as a ransom for all of us. We see what it says in John, 1 John 4 and verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And so that is the good news that we can share, that God in His love sent Jesus to provide salvation for us all, that this world is in need of a Savior. And many times we see that people are looking for that. And sadly, of course, a lot of times they look to the political realm and they think, oh, this new person that's offering themselves up for election, they're going to fix all my problems. And then usually they find out they make it worse, and 4 years later they want to vote them out and find a new Savior. But the thing is, we already have one, and nobody can take His place. He doesn't need anyone to, because He can provide the salvation that we all need. And so this is the good news that we have to share, the good news of this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world, who was God come in the flesh, who yielded His life to be an atonement for our sins, who willingly surrendered His will to the will of the Father for our sakes, the one really who was an example to us all in how to live and how to treat one another. But more than anything, He is the one through whom we can have salvation. And so may the Lord help us to share the good news of Jesus Christ to those around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word, and we just thank You for Your Son, for all that He is and for all that He offers us, and we just pray You'd help us to just value all that He is and has been for us, and help us to share that with others around us, so they too may be blessed by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one last hymn this morning, which is number, number 470.